word. 880 WRFD.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Bob Burney Live. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Chris Long. I'm the president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. We just concluded an interview with Ken Blackwell, who is running for RNC chairman, and we'll have that complete interview. If you haven't didn't get a chance to hear that, we'll have that up on our website later today or tomorrow. So that's at ohioca.org. And if you'd like to receive the legislative alerts from the Ohio Christian Alliance, you can go to our website, again, at ohioca.org, and click on the icon there to be added to our email alert list, fill in the information, and we'll make sure that that's done. And, of course, there'll be a lot of legislative activity that's taking place here in the new year in Washington, here in the state of Ohio. There's still a lot of question marks as to what might happen. We've heard everything from the Freedom of Choice Act, which is a horrible pro-abortion bill that is being floated around as an idea to be passed on the federal level. President-elect Barack Obama has talked about expanding embryonic stem cell research and human embryo research to the nth degree, and it still remains to be seen as to what exactly will come down. But what is important is that pro-life activists and lobbyists, and that's what we do at the Ohio Christian Alliance, working with other pro-life, pro-family groups, and of course our membership, to make sure that you're informed on these issues, these timely issues, to be able to inform members of Congress in your districts to weigh in on these issues so that we might have an impact. Well, joining us on the program this afternoon to talk about these issues for the next 45 minutes or so is Dr. David Prentice. He is with the Family Research Council in Washington, and of course he has been here at Ohio on a number of occasions to weigh in and to testify as expert testimony on a number of bills restricting human embryo research, embryonic stem cell research, in the most recently, Senate Bill 174, the ban on human cloning. Welcome with me, Dr. David Prentice. Doctor, welcome to Bob Burney Live.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be back with you.
Well, this is going to be a very busy time, and I'm thankful that you're able to join us and kind of give us some insight from Washington as to what we can expect. There's still a lot of question marks as to what the intentions are of the new president-elect and, of course, Congress. But I think there's enough information out there that we better prepare.
That's right. It's been a busy year, and it's just going to get busier. We don't know exactly where everything's going to go, but we can assume a few things, and it's going to be a challenging year. Let's just put it that way.
Well, we've heard that during the campaign, Barack Obama has said repeatedly that he is for expanding, lifting the ban President Bush has imposed of no further embryos being used for research. Barack Obama said he would lift that ban, really open up the floodgates for more experimentation on human embryos. We have every belief that he will make good on that promise, even by executive order, maybe even on day one.
That's right, Chris. As you mentioned, President-elect Obama has said that he would kind of open that up. He's full tilt in favor of embryonic stem cell research. And we need to make sure people understand that embryonic stem cell research has been going on for quite a number of years and has been federally funded. What President Bush's decision was a sort of Solomonic decision that there were already some dishes of human embryonic stem cells called lines that were available for research. No embryos needed to be killed for any further research. There were plenty of cells available. In point of fact, those cells are still available, ample sources, and back in 2001 made that decision that those cells could receive federal funding. What we've seen over the last few years, and in fact just this past year, continued push, though, that they want more cell lines, meaning they want to kill more embryos. And there have been two bills that have been passed by Congress just in recent years that would as you said, open the floodgates to destroy more embryos for the research and provide more federal money for that. The saving part of all that was President Bush vetoed those bills twice, said, no, we're not going to spend more money on it. We're not going to certainly destroy more embryos. But Mr. Obama has indicated that he will open those floodgates in probably one of two, if not both ways. One, as you mentioned, is an executive order. The limits on human embryonic stem cell research and the federal funding that were put in before were not done through a bill in Congress. Those were simply making those funds available through the National Institutes of Health. And so all Mr. Obama needs to do is, on that first day, sign an executive order saying, well, we're just going to allow funding for more of those lines, and what that would mean is more embryo destruction. But there very likely will be another bill come through Congress similar to what was vetoed twice before. Congresswoman Diana DeGette from Colorado, Congressman Mike Castle from Delaware have already indicated they've got that bill ready to go. It may be one of the first bills, in fact, that Congress works on. With all of the other things on their plate, they may take this unethical research bill and push it through so that it can be signed very soon by Mr. Obama once he takes office. So we're looking at kind of opening up, and we want to point out, Chris, for embryonic stem cell research that has, number one, not even been tried in humans because it's not safe, hasn't been shown that it can even work in animals. And what that will mean is we'll be neglecting and maybe even pulling funding away from successful research with adult stem cells, umbilical cord blood stem cells that's already treating thousands of patients.
Doctor, how did we come to this point? I'm thinking that in 2001, when President Bush allowed for the existing lines for development, but then he stopped it there, and from that point he's been good to his word by, as you indicated, he has stopped a number of bills. He has vetoed them. He's either threatened to veto or he's vetoed them. And so he has been good to his word. He has brought in for press conferences the snowflake children, which were adopted embryos by couples that were infertile. And so the president's been good to his word. But now the Democrats control both bodies, the Congress and the Senate, and now with President-elect Obama, who has pledged the party line of expansion of embryonic stem cell research. So obviously elections mean something. They've won. They control the agenda. I think it's important for the listeners to understand that. It's funny. People are going to have to put their thinking cap on here. This is a whole new reality with the Democrats controlling now all three branches. With a couple more well-placed federal benches and the Supreme Court seats, things aren't looking good as far as our side of pro-life, sanctity of human life issues. But that said, we've been in this position before. We have fought back. We've made our arguments. And let's not forget, there were a number of Democrats who were called Blue Dog Democrats who ran in conservative districts on a pro-life platform, really showing that there's no difference between them and their Republican challenger. And so they're going to have to go on the record. So there is some hope here where we can leverage some of these members in the South, and we have them even here in Ohio, District 1, Steve Chabot, who was the sponsor of the ban on partial birth abortion. I mean, there's a lot of Ohioans that don't know that. He lost his race down there in the 1st District to a Blue Dog Democrat. And so these are people that are going to have to go on the record, and when they do, that they're going to, if they vote for these kinds of measures, it's going to go against them.
That's right, Chris. The Democrats really did kind of win the trifecta this last election. They gained seats in both the House and the Senate, certainly control both of those bodies, and of course gained the White House. So they do run the agenda. Whatever comes up will be what they want to come up. There'll be some, hopefully, attempts and opportunities for amendments, maybe try and mitigate some of the damage that might be done, certainly in the bioethical realm. But you're right, it's not a totally bleak picture, because there are some rays of hope here on both sides of the aisle. Some pro-life Democrats and Republicans, still good champions to be able to fight this fight and try and get the truth out there, and then people are going to have to be on the record. Did they mean what they said in terms of being pro-life and holding the line? You know, where we got here, you kind of outlined, I think, pretty well that President Bush has held the line in vetoing those bills, and we don't have that backstop now. But there is a number of these champions to be able to fight in both the House and the Senate. Keep plugging away, try and delay that. The Senate does not have a filibuster-proof majority on the Democratic side, so there may be opportunity to block some bills there.
That's right.
There are still in place a few things that will hopefully slow this down a little bit. The current scheme, and even what might be pushed in the next Congress, involves not paying for directly the destruction of the embryos, but essentially rewarding the scientists after they've done it. Because of a little clause that's passed every session in Congress called the Dickey Amendment or Dickey-Wicker Amendment that says we don't want and we will not use taxpayer funds to actually create and destroy embryos for research. So that at least prevents federal funds from going directly to the destruction. Now, still, they can use private funds and go ahead and destroy the embryos. And then once they've got those cells in the dish, it looks like kind of going to open the door up there. But we've got a number of areas where we can keep fighting away. And there are other issues besides just destroying those so-called leftover embryos. I'm glad you brought up the snowflake babies.
And we're going to go to a break here, Doctor. We're with Dr. David Prentice of the Family Research Council in Washington. We're going to talk on the other side of this break about how we got here and what we can do in further education and getting folks on our side to the pro-life, pro-family position. We're talking again with Dr. David Prentice. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
This is Bob Burney Live. The Word, 880 WRFD.
We're back, and with us on the phone is Dr. David Prentice from the Family Research Council in Washington. He is the Senior Fellow of Life Sciences at the Family Research Council, and also Center for Human and Life Bioethics. Doctor, welcome back to Bob Burney Live.
Thank you, Chris.
Doctor, as we were talking just before the break, and we talked about how we've gotten here, obviously, in this whole debate, we've had about 6 years now since the existing lines that the president allowed for. Gave us some time to educate the American public on this issue, the difference between embryonic research, human embryonic research, and adult stem cells. And, of course, stemcellresearch.org, a website that posts, that you're a contributor to, posts the gains of adult stem cells. And so take us through that briefly about the difference between those two lines of science.
It's important for people to understand, and there are basic differences between the embryonic stem cells and the adult stem cells. Embryonic come from an embryo, and as we've been discussing before, you've actually got to destroy that embryo, break it apart, to put its cells in a dish for experiments. So you end a young human life because biologically that's where we all were. That is a young human being developing. And in terms of results, we can go even farther back than just the federal funding and human embryonic. There have been mouse embryonic stem cells around since 1981. So we're coming up on 28 years of embryonic stem cells. At this point, as I mentioned before, they haven't treated a single human being. And that's because the cells are very difficult to control. They tend to make tumors in the rats and mice. They tend not to match, so you get transplant rejection. They tend not to form the right tissues. They're just, despite all of the hype around them that some have said, well, they're going to treat all these diseases, they're just not really amenable to that. They might be an interesting lab curiosity. When it comes down to treating diseases, you want to look at the adult stem cells. And you don't have to be 21 years of age to have an adult stem cell. Babies are born with adult type stem cells in their body. They're in our tissues and organs, in the blood, in the bone marrow, in the brain, pretty much every organ and tissue. They're in umbilical cord blood. They're in placenta, amniotic fluid. So you think of a tissue or an organ, there are going to be adult stem cells there. Now, they tend, at least a lot of them, to be more directed, maybe more mature would be a good way to put it. They're directed towards repairing damage in tissue disease. And that's their job description. They're like a maintenance crew. For years, people have had bone marrow transplants to replenish their bone marrow, their blood and immune-forming cells there. Those are using adult stem cells. You can do the same sorts of things with umbilical cord blood stem cells. Bottom line, it's the adult stem cells that actually can and do now treat diseases and injuries. In fact, if folks go to that website you mentioned, stemcellresearch.org, they'll see a little scoreboard over there on the right side of the webpage, maybe about halfway down. What we've done is try to look at the peer-reviewed, published scientific evidence, not the news stories, not the testimonials. This is the published scientific results. Over 70 different diseases and injuries where they've already shown that, yes, you can benefit patient health with adult stem cells. Zero, of course, for embryonic because they can't get past the tumor problem and so on yet. But these are not just clinical trials. These are where they've actually tried to treat patients with adult stem cells for all these different things.
And there's some astounding treatments and papers that are being published of results of the treatments of adult stem cells. And by the way, it says that 73-0, 73 adult stem cell current treatments, 0 embryonic current treatments in effect. What we see here also on the website is talking about a number of things. I know that you and I in discussion have talked about how they've been able to, with adult stem cells, create heart tissue for patients. They've been able to treat diabetes, work on Parkinson's treatments, spinal cord injuries. And there's been some phenomenal developments along these lines. And, Doctor, when we come back, I'd like you to kind of enumerate and go through one by one of some of the fantastic developments that there has been with adult stem cells. We're talking with Dr. David Prentice of the Family Research Council in Washington. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Daily devotionals, Bible search, and your own personalized Bible. Just click on Bible Study Tools at WRFD.com. Read the Bible online at WRFD.com. You pick the translation, highlight your favorite verses, keep your own notes. Just click on the Bible Study Tools link at WRFD.com.
We're back with Dr. David Prentice from the Family Research Council in Washington. And if you'd like to join us in our conversation, if you have a question, you can call us at 262-8450. Let's see, what is that number again? Oh, that's 877-BOB-LIVE. Okay, great. Anyways, Doctor, we were talking about, just before the break, of the many treatments of adult stem cells. There was a Harvard study, I think, that came out last year, the year before, of treatments that were being conducted there with folks who had, juvenile diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us some of the treatments that you're aware of.
Well, and that one is an ongoing trial, very straightforward, just to kind of give people with juvenile diabetes, your body's attacking itself, and it's attacking those cells that make insulin. And one of the researchers there came up with a fairly simple technique to stop that attack, and found that when they did that in the mice, the body just regrew the cells needed to secrete insulin. And so they're undergoing a trial there now with human patients to try and treat that juvenile diabetes. There are other studies underway. In fact, even with juvenile diabetes, there's a researcher at Northwestern University who collaborated with doctors in Brazil and actually did the first successful treatment of juvenile diabetes, again using the patient's own adult stem cells. There are lots of different sorts of cancers that are amenable to this treatment. Now, this is a lot of these, what I call the Model T version of these treatments. And so what's happening is they're going in, and for the cancers, they're giving chemotherapy or radiation to get all of the cancer cells they can. And then they'll come back and give the patient back their own bone marrow adult stem cells, or maybe donor, or maybe cord blood, which is also being used now to replenish bone marrow. They've done that not just with cancers, but that same treatment was what was used for juvenile diabetes and a bunch of other autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis. We had a patient come to Capitol Hill and talk about his treatment, Barry Gowdy. He'd been treated, it's now been over 5 years ago, for his MS. And he was talking about how, you know, he was having the typical trouble walking and with muscular coordination and so on. He's had no symptoms now for 5 years. That doesn't mean that it's a cure, that he might not have some sort of relapse, but, you know, you've given him at least 5 years with MS without having to suffer through those symptoms. And for other autoimmune diseases, for lupus, for a kind of skin condition called scleroderma, where the skin hardens and essentially the person can't even close their eyes and it starts to affect their lungs. It's been used for lots of different treatments like that, of course, for various types of anemias to replenish the blood, sickle cell anemia being a big one. Reading a story the other day that now people in Africa, there was a story about a young girl in Uganda who'd had this same treatment. It's an adult stem cell treatment along with chemotherapy. Her sickle cell anemia is gone, and lots of people have been treated for sickle cell and other anemias that way. But it doesn't stop, despite what some of the opponents might say, with just making bone marrow and blood and sort of rebooting that system. What we've seen, as you've mentioned, is heart damage being repaired with adult stem cells. There are a couple of thousand patients already who've been documented that have benefited from adult stem cell treatment for their hearts. And here, there's no chemotherapy involved. They're just taking the patient's own bone marrow or blood, adult stem cells, catheterized into the damaged heart, and let those cells stimulate regrowth of new heart tissue, regrowth of new blood vessels, kind of making your own bypass, some people have called it, being able to grow new blood vessels in the legs to prevent gangrene and having to do an amputation.
Well, Doctor, you have testified on Capitol Hill for a number of years now in various committees about these advancements in detail. You've submitted policy papers and testimonials to members of Congress. Are they hard of hearing? Are they just turning the other way? Why isn't this being embraced by the legislators and their staff to understand where the development is when embryonic stem cells have proven none of these things?
It's interesting, and maybe they are hard of hearing, Chris, or willfully hard of hearing. We've had some of the patients come and testify as well, and these are patients who are sitting there at the hearing table being able to testify alive because of their adult stem cell treatments for different types of cancers, for heart damage, as we've mentioned. And it's as if some of these members of Congress just don't even hear them and don't even see them. We have had some members of the committee who didn't want to hear the story actually get up and leave the hearing room during those particular witnesses. But some of those that are sitting there, it's just like they don't get it. They talk about, yeah, they want to do these treatments and help patients, but when the living, breathing truth is right in front of them, it's like they're ignoring it. So, you know, we've got to keep working away and keep getting these facts out there, because here are human beings alive because of adult stem cell treatments. Human beings whose lives are better because of adult stem cell treatments. It made the news really big about a month ago, this young lady who was in Spain who had a whole new windpipe grown using her own adult stem cells. But there are a lot of stories that don't make it out there. People need to understand that there are thousands of patients who've been helped and their health improved with these adult stem cells. So we've got to keep hammering away and getting this message out. We do support stem cell research. We support adult stem cell research because that's the type that's helping patients. And if we want to talk about helping the patients first, it's the adult stem cells that are the real key.
And that's what we should be encouraging our members of Congress, as this is going to be debated in the new session. We're going to be back with Dr. Prentice in just a few minutes, and we're going to continue our discussion. If you'd like to join us this afternoon, it's 877-262-5483. Calling in here, 877-BOB-LIVE. We'll be right back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
The Word, 880 WRFD. RFD.
We're back with Dr. David Prentice of the Family Research Council. We've been talking about adult stem cell research as opposed to human embryo research, which destroys nascent human life. And Barack Obama and the new Democratic Congress are talking about expanding use and funding of human embryos for research. What we've been talking about, Doctor, is there really is no need for that. And you have been busy the last number of years on Capitol Hill in various committees with policy papers and statements and testimony, expert testimony in the field of life sciences and genetics, talking about how there really is no need to pursue embryonic stem cell research when adult stem cell research is so promising. And, of course, there's a lot of documentation to back you up, and of course the website that we talked about, stemcellresearch.org, we encourage people to go there. 73 current treatments that are posted on the scoreboard there. It is detailed with various papers and medical papers and statements that have been put out on the developments and treatments that are ongoing. Almost weekly, there seems to be something new that's breaking on the adult stem cell side. And before we turn the corner, I do want to ask the question about Dr. Yamanaka's study, where he is using skin tissue to create embryonic-like cells without, obviously, the human embryo being needed.
That's right. Another very exciting area that's ethical, doesn't involve embryos or eggs or cloning, The short term for these new cells is iPS cells. It stands for induced pluripotent stem cells. But as you mentioned, Dr. Yamanaka in Japan, and now a growing number of other scientists have backed up what he originally did and shown they could take a little piece of skin, just a cell, add a few genes, and those skin cells now start to act like embryonic stem cells. So their characteristics are that of an embryonic stem cell. But again, you started with a bit of skin. In fact, there was a recent paper where they just plucked a hair out of one of the lab assistants' heads and used that little few cells that they got. So they're not taken from embryos. You don't have to create or destroy embryos or use human eggs or do any cloning whatsoever. And they would then actually match the patient. So there have been a number of reports where they've taken patients with different diseases and made these iPS type of stem cells from a little bit of skin from those patients. Now,
and there's so many benefits, what we see even with transplants, folks having to take the medications
right. So
that their body doesn't reject the transplant organ. With adult stem cells, you're using your own body cells to create that organ or that tissue, and then it also alleviates the problem of body rejection.
That's right. You know, on the iPS cells, because it's so easy to do, just a bit of skin or pluck a hair or whatever and add these genes, Ian Wilmot, who was Dolly's daddy, the one who cloned Dolly the sheep a number of years ago, had a license to do human cloning in Great Britain. He gave up that license because he said, you know, this new technology is so much easier. But you're right, when it comes down to actual treatments of patients, it's the adult stem cells. And that scoreboard number is going to go up because we haven't added in a number of things that have occurred just in the last year, published scientific reports again. So we're trying to set the highest bar for that score of here are the actual results reported in scientific journals.
And that is amazing. Doctor, you've helped us here in Ohio to help push through legislation here in Ohio that would restrict or ban embryonic stem cell research, promote adult stem cell research. Case Western Reserve Universities of Cleveland, they've been on the cutting edge of this technology for years, meaning adult stem cell, bone marrow transplant, they've been in the news. We do have a caller on line one who has a question about a statement you made earlier, Don from Lancaster. Don, your question for Dr. Prentice?
Yes, doctor. My wife has been diagnosed with scleroderma,
mm-hmm.
and we're not sure. We think it's crest scleroderma,
okay. And
she does have some tightening of the skin on the legs and the hands and fingers. And it's been going on now a little over 5 years. And she does have some scarring tissue in the lungs.
Yeah.
And she's on a lot of medications. And then she's recently diagnosed with diabetes. And of course, she's on Coumadin. She's got factor V blood. Would she be a candidate for stem cell research?
She probably would. And I tell you, Chris, actually, if you could get Don's contact information and email it to me later, I'll send you the guy's contact information. But Dr. Richard Bird at Northwestern University has been kind of on the cutting edge and treated lots of patients, including for scleroderma. And as I mentioned, he was the first one that did the juvenile diabetes and a lot of these diseases. So there's definitely a possibility. I'm not the MD, so I'll leave that to Dr. Burke, but definitely worth checking out.
Don, stay on the line. Jason's going to get your information. Dr. Prentice will be back in a few minutes as we head to the top of the hour. We're with Dr. Prentice from the Family Research Council in Washington. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Listen.
Listen.
Think.
Think.
Discern.
Discern.
When you think James McDonald, think WRFD. Walk in the Word, weekday mornings at 7:30 on The Word, 880 WRFD.
We're back with Dr. Prentice from the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. Doctor, we just have a few minutes left till the top of the hour, and what can our listeners do as we enter into the new year and the new Congress is seated and sworn in, and we're going to see very quickly, I think, matters of this destruction of human embryos legislation and, of course, executive order going forward. What can our listeners do as far as calling their congressman and calling the president?
Well, they need to have the facts, and we've pretty much given it, but they can go to stemcellresearch.org and look at that information. We've also got a lot of this information at frc.org, and then they need to call, write, visit their federal representatives, and also let's keep in mind that these debates are going on at the state level too, and there's state taxpayer money that might be used for one or the other type of stem cell research. They need to call in radio programs and let people know what the real facts are, write letters to the editor, but contact your elected representatives and let them know you want them to support the successful and ethical stem cells, the adult stem cells.
Well, that's exactly right, and we're going to stay on the offensive with this and also play a defensive role as well. We're going to be working with you, Doctor, and we're going to have you back here to Ohio, I'm sure, this next year as we're going to introduce another ban on human cloning and possibly another piece of legislation we didn't get a chance to get into today on animal-human hybrid, but we'd like to see that banned as well. Doctor, thank you for being my guest this hour. And stick with us, everyone. We'll be with Bill Federer right after the news break. You're listening to Bob Burney Live. We'll be right back.
The Word, 880 WRFD.